Thanks for listening to the Thyroid Fixer podcast with your host, me, Dr. Amy Horniman, aka the Thyroid Fixer. Also, functional medicine practitioner, hormone and weight loss expert. We're talking all things thyroid, hormone, and health related in order to empower, educate, and transform you. Remember, I fix your thyroid, I fix your hormones, I fix your life. So let's get started. If you're wondering what I eat in a day and maybe what you should eat in a day, if you are struggling with weight gain or the inability to lose weight or even fatigue, if you have hypothyroidism, Hashimoto's, hormone issues, insulin resistance, then listen up because this is something we should go over. And I know it's something that you're interested in as well. There is nothing like this on the market. So if you want to get your hands on something very unique, then it's going to be Collagen Fixer 2.0. Here's what I did. Reblended it completely. Took three trademarked bioactive collagen peptides and put them together. One of them, Verisol. This is clinically proven to reduce your wrinkles and to reduce the appearance of cellulite and to improve your hair strength. So it helps your hair grow too. Number two, Body Balance. This bioactive peptide has been shown to increase lean body mass and decrease fat mass. So now we're getting the reduction of cellulite. We're getting improved body composition. Oh, wait, there's one more. Fortigel. Fortigel supports cartilage tissue growth, helping those joints. So anyone with joint pain, if this is holding you back from working out, add this in. So now you get improved joints, improved mobility, improved body composition, better lean muscle, less fat, less cellulite, better hair, better skin, better nails, and some protein too. Why aren't you adding this in? There is nothing at all like it on the market. I'm pretty proud. Pretty proud of this bad boy. Collagen Fixer 2.0. So myself, many of you know, because I am an open book with y'all. Many of you know that I had PCOS, what happens after you actually enter menopause and start taking hormones? But we'll say I had PCOS and I am always prone to insulin resistance. So with PCOS, you're going to have insulin resistance. And then you can add on the fact that I have diabetes in my family. My grandpa passed away from type 2 diabetes, complications from surgery. So that is a very strong familial connection. I am very, very sensitive to carbohydrates. I know that. That's one reason why I created Blood Sugar Fixer, because I myself take berberine, need berberine, have insulin resistance, and many of my patients do. I know you got insulin resistance too if you have a dysregulated thyroid and you're not being optimized. And really, even after your thyroid is optimized, you can be like me in that you are just more prone to insulin resistance. You're more prone to glucose spikes because your body is just sensitive to carbohydrates, and you probably always will be. So yes, you add in Blood Sugar Fixer, that helps stabilize glucose and insulin, but it doesn't give you or me a license to eat whatever we want. Still have to watch the carbohydrate intake. Okay, so I will, in general, keep my carbohydrates between 50 and 100 per day. I can now I'm at the place where I can handle more carbs than what we would say would be on a low-carb diet or a ketogenic diet. I can handle those because my thyroid is optimized, my hormones are optimized, and my metabolism is really working very well again. I also take my own thyroid fixer, T2, and that keeps my metabolism up as well. So that combination definitely allows me to have a few more carbohydrate grams in a day and still maintain my metabolic flexibility, still maintain the metabolism to burn those carbohydrates for fuel, to utilize them properly. And I wouldn't say stay in a state of ketosis. I have no idea. I haven't checked my ketones in years because I can tell my own body and I can tell when I am metabolically efficient and burning fat or when maybe I have tipped the scales, no pun intended, and started going down the path of storing fat and possibly looking at my diet and saying, yeah, okay, yeah, the carbs are getting a little bit heavy here. Got to reel those back in. So by no means can I eat whatever I want. I don't want you to think that. Yes, I have a good metabolism now, but I didn't always. I was the fat kid. I grew up always battling weight. I started doing Jane Fonda work. I remember the Buns of Steel. Remember, there was like Guy Smiley or something was his name. And we're talking headband, leotard pants, and I'm pretty sure some leg warmers. And I was doing Buns of Steel videos at a very young age. And then Tammy Lee something or other took over. So it was this blonde with a headband and leotards and leg warmers who did then Buns of Steel 2 and Abs of Steel. So yes, I was doing those. I was doing step aerobics. I taught step aerobics. I taught spin classes. And this all kind of was birthed from my own problem with being a fat kid. So I was always dealing with a little battle of the bulge being younger. And I mean, even back then, folks, we ate Schwebel's bread. We ate Ho-Ho's. We ate cereal, right? My mom was cooking up goulash, and then it was pizza night and it was spaghetti night. So the carbs were ample. And we really didn't have the knowledge, at least my parents didn't. We did not have the knowledge back then as to what was good or bad. It was just, this is what you ate. And that combined with my genetics led to me being a fat kid. So I battled that really my entire life. I would say it wasn't until I got into high school, maybe late middle school, and I really started actually becoming more physically active. I did cheerleading. I did some sports. And then I started going to the gym and I started working out. And I was probably one of the youngest people in the step aerobic class at the gym. You know, as soon as you were allowed to go, I think age 14 or 15, I was in the gym by myself working out. So that all led me to a little bit better metabolism. But even when you look at my 20s and 30s, when I was competing, and many of you know the story of that one competition that I put on 25 plus pounds, and I was told by 6 different doctors that you're normal, everything's fine, eat less and exercise more, it's all in your head. These are all the things that I was told as my body was literally laying down fat. But every single show that I did, every single photo shoot I did, I busted my ass to lose that weight. I dug deep. I mean, I was on that strict bodybuilding diet. I was going to the gym twice a day. I kid you not. Even if it was just a photo shoot, I was not naturally skinny. I did not walk around like some of these fitness models that literally all they have to do is throw on a bikini and step in front of the camera after getting a spray tan. No. My body wasn't like that. My body was always a little bit heavier, a little bit thicker, and I had to bust my ass to get abs to show and to get that tight, lean look, those striated muscles, not like bodybuilding crazy, but just I'm talking about getting that six-pack look, right? You got a little definition in your quad, a little definition in your shoulder to bicep tie-in or your tricep, when you flex it, you can actually see it, that little horseshoe, right? So I had to really diet down and bust my ass to get there. And then there was that one show that I've spoken about many, many times, which led me into functional medicine, which led me into, hey, I have a thyroid problem. What's this all about? But I'm totally digressing. I've always been more cognizant of what I eat because I've always had to be. And at a very young age, I started studying nutrition, not knowing that my career would go into functional medicine and would encompass what we eat, how we sleep, do we poop, what supplements are we taking, nutrient deficiencies, hormone health, thyroid health. Had no idea at the time. I just knew I better figure this food thing out because something isn't right. And I'm a young kid battling the bulge with my friend who we would have contests in sixth grade to see how much weight we could lose because we were both chubby. You would look at that now and go, oh man, these kiddos need some psychological help, right? Well, we got through it. We were okay. We didn't need a therapist, but we definitely needed better nutrition. So I've always been cognizant and I've always known that, you know, these cereals and the pasta and the bread, not really quite working, right? Digging my hand into the fat-free cereal, having a big old bowl of rice, probably not a great idea. And listen, as I went into my 20s, before I started competing, I lived with my aunt who was Guamanian, and she had a big rice cooker. Every day, that rice cooker would be filled with white sticky rice. And you know what goes well with white sticky rice? Milk, cinnamon, and sugar. Go ahead and try it one day on your cheat day. Don't do it every day like I did. That white sticky rice with milk, cinnamon, and sugar easily laid down an additional 10 to 15 pounds. Screw the freshman 15. I mean, yeah, did that occur? Sure. How about the 22-year-old 15? The living with your Guamanian aunt needing rice like it's going out of style 15. And then let's not forget about the low fat phase of the 90s. I mean, maybe a little bit 80s, but definitely 90s. Everything was fat-free. I ate this fat-free brownie that was at a local bakery every damn day because it was fat-free, right? Snackwell cookies. I know I'm bringing back some dear fond memories for many of you, but that's how I ate, fat-free. And I was putting on weight all the time. Why? Because fat-free equals high carb. We weren't focused on protein back then. It wasn't until I got into competing that I started focusing on the protein aspect. So that really changed a lot for me, even though I was studying nutrition. I was very much into health. I was very much into body and body work, working out, the whole thing. That nutrition piece really didn't click till I started competing. And then the protein came in. So I knew I had to be low carb. And then I started focusing on, hey, what about this good fat that we have amongst our food choices? What about all of the protein? Yeah, I learned that I needed protein as a fuel source. I needed it to refeed my muscles after I went to the gym and lifted heavy shit. I needed that protein, those amino acids to come in and help rebuild. Now, back then, we relied on pure protein bars that tasted like absolute garbage. But when you can't really eat a real candy bar, it's better than nothing in the late 90s, early 2000s. And we also brought in the whey protein shakes. Now, why don't I like whey protein shakes anymore? Well, first of all, I can again look back at that time and I can say, oh my God, that whey protein, I would walk around bloated and passing gas all the time. If that's TMI, sorry, but it just is. And if you look at the origins of whey protein came about for the 200-pound bodybuilder to drink after he depletes his muscle glycogen stores at the gym by throwing around heavy weights. And now all of that muscle glycogen, that stored glycogen in his muscle is depleted. And now he drinks the whey protein shake in order to what? Get an insulin spike, because it was known that whey protein would spike your insulin. Get that insulin spike to then shuttle those nutrients, those amino acids into that depleted muscle, help the glucose, shuttle everything, boom, 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 right into that muscle so that his muscles would grow. It was never, ever, ever intended for a 40-year-old woman to drink 1, 2, 3 times a day as a diet drink or to drink as a snack. Not meant to, because it's going to give an insulin spike and it's going to wreck your gut too, by the way. Now, I know there's some of you out there right now going, well, wait a minute. What about the New Zealand way, the grass-fed way? I would still say to you, yes, that might be a better choice, but I would lean towards the bone collagen, bone broth-based protein powders. because what we know, and I'm going to move on to plant here in a second, but what we know about the bone broth, bone collagen based protein powders is that they are loaded with amino acids. We know that bone broth is very beneficial to the gut. We know it is loaded with nutrients and high, it's a high quality, absorbable, bioavailable protein source that your body just sucks up and uses without the digestive upset and without the insulin spike. Now, I am just going to tell you this, and I apologize for dropping this too early because it's probably still about 3-ish to 4 weeks away, but I have found the most amazing, found and formulated the most amazing bone broth protein powder for you. I have tried others. I have recommended others that I personally still have tubs of and I cannot gag down. You know, I want to look forward to blending a shake. So the Fixer line is coming out with a literally to die for. You're not going to want to miss this. I made it into a chocolate mousse last night and I was going to take a picture, but I didn't want to make y'all jealous. I'll show you how to do it. But the most amazing, amino acid loaded bone broth, affordable bone broth protein powder. So that will be coming out. I'll let you know when, and I'll show you all the yummy recipes and what you can do with it. But besides that, we have to look at the plant-based proteins that you're taking in as well. And I say no to those because when those came out and I tried them, listen, I was with some multi-level marketing company. I'll just say I was with Arbonne. You know, somebody got me hooked into that and I became a distributor just simply because I liked their plant-based protein. But then I always wondered, why is it every time that I eat this stuff or drink it, why is it that my stomach is angry at me? Like literally talking to me, yelling at me, rah, rah, rah. I mean, just almost to an embarrassment level. Like you couldn't really go out anywhere. And I was actually embarrassed to sit there with my family because I'm like, oh, like the world is hearing my stomach speak right now. It's a little noisy. We can't hear the TV, Amy. So that did make me pause. Now, at the time, we didn't have the bone broth protein powders. We only had whey or plant-based or soy or hemp garbage, which is garbage. And I knew better than to use soy, and you should know better than to use soy protein. So plant-based proteins, no. And then the other ones that I would try outside of that one that I was hooked on because of the taste, I couldn't even gag down. They were so disgusting. So disgusting. So stay away from whey, stay away from plant-based, really focus on your bone broth-based protein powders because it's a great way to increase your protein, especially ladies. Great way to increase your protein intake. So my diet consists of roughly 50 to 100 carbohydrates, and I'll walk you through the food choices in a moment. 50 to 100 carbohydrates. Yes, I always try to get 120, maybe more grams of protein in per day. Do I hit that mark all the time? No. I would say a good average would be 100 for me. There are some days, just like you, because I'm human, then maybe I only get 60 or 70 and nothing else is going in. It was just one of those days. But I can say easily for the most part, I get in roughly to 100 to 120 grams of protein. And having a really good protein powder that you look forward to doing is very, very, very helpful. Okay, this is me literally just speaking to you from the heart. So many of you know, I've been where you are with the struggle of weight gain, unexplained. Literally, you're doing everything you can and nothing is working. And I've been in the boat of crushing fatigue, like the type of fatigue you can't explain to anyone unless they've gone through it. The hair loss, legit, when you're counting the hairs that fall out of your head. I get that because I've been there. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. That's why it's my passion to help you specifically get to where you deserve to be, get to optimization land, which I always joke about being in. But it's not really a joke. It's a place. It's a place of existence in your life where you can enjoy life. You can go out with your friends. You can have a glass of wine. You're not gaining weight looking sideways at a brownie. You have energy to get through the day. You don't even think about being tired because you're not tired. You're just confident. You're confident in your own body. You're confident in your own skin. And beyond that, you're out of that frustrating cycle of doctor jumping, thinking that maybe this one will listen to me. Maybe this one will actually do what they're supposed to do. And then you're disappointed again and you're crying in your car like I was. So that is why it's literally been my mission. And I've been working on this for years and finally got here to help every single person in every single state and some of Canada. So we can now prescribe to all 50 states. And the reason why this is important is because if you have low thyroid function and you have low hormones, there is no supplement, there's no diet, there's no lifestyle change that you can do to build those hormones back up. And I flat out call BS on any program out there that promises you optimization without actually using bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, including thyroid hormone replacement. If you're not making hormones properly, you're not making hormones properly, and we have to replace that. Now, many of you are in the process of begging your doctor for bioidentical hormones that they're uneducated on. They tell you scary things that just, you know, don't believe them. And many of you are trying to beg your doctor to give you the right thyroid medication. Well, you can stop that now too, because we can order all the labs, prescribe all the bioidentical hormones, all the thyroid medication, all the things. We can do that to all 50 states and most of Canada. Now, when you work with me, when you work with my team, you're getting personalized plans, personalized treatment plans, personalized nutrition, the whole deal, top to bottom. You get what you need to get to the finish line, to enjoy your life, to live with me in Optimization Land, which is where you deserve to be. You deserve that. So click the link in the show notes, book a free call. We're going to go over everything with you. You don't have to remember everything I just said. The one thing you have to remember is I've been there. I can help you. I promise you're not that tough of a case. And it doesn't matter where you live in the United States and parts of Canada, we can help you. Now, the other things that I have added in that help me increase my protein, obsession, possible borderline addiction. It's borderline addiction. Carnivore snacks. I found them at KetoCon. Tried a couple. Yeah, it was good. Didn't think of much of it until I got home and they had put a free bag in the speaker's little gift bags. So I open it up and I become addicted to these things. And I have now ordered, I don't know, probably $500 or $600 worth of carnivore snacks in the last month since getting home from KetoCon. And they did give me a discount code. I asked them for a discount code because I knew I'd be talking about them and I knew y'all would want to try. So we're going to put the link and the discount code in the show notes. Carnivore snacks are these, it's not a jerky. It's meat and salt. Meat and salt. And I couldn't even tell you what's my favorite. I like them all. Honestly, you're just going to want to try a bag of everything from pork loin to brisket to ribeye to eye of round to, I mean, ham, pork sliders, lamb. I mean, you're going to want to try them all. And it's like these little chips. It's like these chips, like thin slices of dried salty meat that is grass fed. And what an easy way to get your protein in. I am snacking on those all day long, all day long. Easy way to get your protein up. Now, I also will do, because I can, I will do an organic dairy. So I will do an organic yogurt, like a Siggy's yogurt. And that helps me get an additional, usually around 12-ish grams of protein. And I just really like yogurt. I'll throw some blueberries in, just a couple, or I'll eat it just as is. I might even throw a scoop of flaxseed in it just to get a little bit of omegas instead of taking an omega. So that's an excellent way. And then, of course, there's just the real food that I eat. So dinner always has a meat in it. And usually it's a red meat because we have a freezer of deer. We have a freezer of a cow. So why not reach in the freezer and get some really good, high quality red meat? I have no issues with you eating red meat every day. Yes, I need to do a cholesterol episode with a cholesterol expert that can come on and blow the shit out of cholesterol numbers. Because if you're worried about, oh, my cholesterol is going to go up with red meat. No, it's not. Your cholesterol increases with the garbage that you're putting in that is white. Anything that is spiking insulin, your white bread, your potatoes, your pretzels, your cookies, your crackers. Yeah, even the fat-free ones. Oh, even the keto ones, right? Because if it's labeled keto, that doesn't mean that it's low carb, by the way. You really have to look at what the ingredients are. And it could still contain some form of like a white flour. Like, you know, I mean, if they'll load it down with tapioca starch and all that, come on. So anyways, like Mission low carb wraps, I'm calling bullshit on those. So yes, I will talk about cholesterol, but please don't freak out if your cholesterol is high. Come on now. Do not freak out if your cholesterol is high. Red meats, poultry, wild caught fish, all good sources of protein. Eggs, good sources of protein. So always have a real food source of protein. Now the carnivore snacks are too. I mean, listen, that's meat. I have no problem with that. But always try to have a 6-ounce serving of a real amino acid animal-based protein at dinner, at least at dinner. Come on, end your day that way. Now you can actually end your day like as in a snack before bed. That's where you can add in like the new fixer protein that's coming out because you can make it into a mousse. I'm going to show you how. It's freaking amazing. And you can make it into ice cream. So yes, you can end your day with a high quality protein powder. You can end your day with organic Greek yogurt, throw some blueberries on it. That can cap the end of your day. But at least at dinner, bring in an animal-based protein source, please, because that's very, very beneficial. And then we look at fat. Now, fat intake, I don't count. Honestly, I couldn't even tell you. I let the fat come in as it will. If I'm in the mood to stick my face into a bowl of guacamole and eat the whole damn thing, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to count the fat grams. And again, with the carnivore snacks or with a ribeye or with a fatty piece of meat, I don't care. I'm letting that fat stay. This isn't 1995 where we have to cut the fat off of everything. I've been there. I've done that. I've cut the fat off of chicken. How crazy were we? There's not even fat on chicken. And I'm cutting off this little tiny piece of fat that's on the side of a chicken breast. Anyways, the things that we did in the past, I would like to think that we now know. I think I can say officially with confidence that what we know now about food is pretty much on point. I don't believe that there's going to be a time like there was with egg yolks and red meat, where at one point in time, they're like, ooh, bad. And now they're like, yeah, not really bad. Sorry, we gave you bad information. There's not going to be a point of time 5 to 10 years from now where they're going to be like, yeah, you know, that processed food that was like literally made in a factory and has a bunch of chemicals in it. The Frankenburgers that you get at McDonald's, not so bad. I don't see that happening. So I don't think that you have to worry about that. What we do know now is that protein is good. Good fat is good. Excess carbohydrates in the form of processed foods are not good. And those excess carbohydrates in the form of processed food is really the root cause of inflammation and many diseases. I'm talking from Alzheimer's. We know that's type 3 diabetes, type 2 diabetes, obesity and all the diseases associated with it, cardiovascular disease, cancer feeds on glucose. We now know that the root of all of many, 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 I won't say all, but many diseases is the consumption of processed foods, sugar-laden foods, high carbohydrate foods. So when I say that I can consume 50 to 100 grams of carbohydrates, I'm talking about in the form of vegetables, in the form of blueberries, in the form of dark chocolate, in the form of a Siete almond flour wrap, the carbohydrates that are in my yogurt, because there are some. In a Siggy's Greek yogurt, you're still going to get maybe 10 carbs. So I'm talking about all of those carbohydrates adding up through the day. I am not talking about eating a piece of bread. Now, will I occasionally go higher than that? Absolutely, yes. I will have a real ice cream cone. I will have sweet potato fries. I will have a real bun with my burger if it's the best hamburger in the entire world. I took my dad out last week for dinner. Had a big ass brownie with some kind of peanut butter stuff on top and whipped cream. And I ate it and it was really good. So yes, I will go above and beyond that and bring in the treats, but not every day. That is not a part of my life every day, nor should it be part of your life every day. You need to pick the days where you have those treats and only after you are optimized and you get your metabolism up. And then yes, on those days where you know you're going to have treats, you better take an extra blood sugar fixer and you better be taking your thyroid fixer. Keep that basal metabolic rate up so your body can handle it. Add in the berberine so you don't spike super duper high with your blood sugar and your insulin. Keep it in check if you're going to cheat a little bit and don't do it every day. So a typical day for me would be to wake up, have coffee. I put some keto creamer, super creamer in my coffee with C60 oil. I do that every single day. So Riley gets some C60 in his food. I put C60 in my coffee. And sometimes I will put collagen in my coffee too. I'll have that. Then I'll go walk Riley, work out. Then I come back and maybe I'm eating something left over from dinner. I just had some meatloaf today. And if I don't have anything readily made for dinner from dinner the night before, if I don't have anything to pick at, then I will make a protein shake and I will do a bone broth based protein shake. And sometimes I'll actually make it to be around 40 to 50 grams of protein because in a past episode, as Betty Murray and I discussed, you can actually front load and end load your protein and that makes it more available. And this actually, the study was shown to be more positively correlated with women bookending their protein intake. And it really does kind of fit nicely into a busy lifestyle as well. So if you're super busy through the day and you tend to not eat very much through the day, bookending your protein is very, very helpful. So sometimes I'll make that protein shake and I'll actually throw in a little bit of just Greek yogurt into my protein shake. So I'm already putting 2 scoops of the bone broth protein powder in that will be the fixer protein. And that gives me 42 grams of protein. And then I'll just put a little dollop of Greek yogurt in. And that usually brings me up to 50. And then through the day, which I try to stay stocked on my carnivore snacks. I will snack on the carnivore snacks through the day. Maybe I'll drop downstairs in between patients, throw down a Greek yogurt. There's another 12 grams. Then always, always a meat for dinner. So that's easily. So I'm probably at 50 in the morning. Actually, I'll go a little bit lower just in case I don't throw in the yogurt. So let's say 40 in the morning. And then probably another, 20 to 30 throughout the day between, you know, the carnivore snacks, the Greek yogurt. Maybe then throughout the day, I'll pick on something that we have in the fridge from the night before that's already made. I'll even take some Applegate lunch meat and roll that up with some grass-fed cheddar. And I just might munch on that. If I don't have the carnivore snacks, I have Chomps beef sticks. So I'll grab one of those and I'll do that through the day. So let's say I'm up to right around like 60 or 70. And then dinner is always 6 ounces of meat, sometimes more. So that's easily going to bring me up to about 100 grams. And then I'll cap the day at the end. Again, either sometimes I'll do 2 Greek yogurts, put into one bowl with some berries. So that gives me another 20. And then if I'm doing my protein mousse or ice cream, protein ice cream, then that will add on another 20 to 40. So you can see it's really not that hard to get in the amount of protein that you need. And that was all without me doing eggs. Yes, I will throw in eggs every once in a while. And if I happen to have some hard-boiled ones or some kick-ass deviled eggs, I'll pop those through the day. Great source of protein. That doesn't count the applewood smoked. It's like a sausage of some type. It's like a apple maple breakfast sausage. Man, I will throw a whole pack in a pan, brown that up, and munch on those through the day. I think that that gives me maybe 40 grams of protein, maybe 50, if I eat the whole pack, which is very easy to do. So that's not even counting all these other sources of protein that you can easily pick on. My goodness, a rotisserie chicken. I mean, there's so many different sources. There's really not a good excuse as to why you are not getting inadequate protein. And then my carbohydrate sources, like I shared earlier, might be anything from the Siete wrap. I might do that. I'll do a ton of vegetables. I'll do some berries. I'll do the occasional sweet potato. That's totally fine. And then whatever carbohydrates are in my yogurt. And then, you know, dark chocolate. I mean, hey, let's face it. I'm a huge dark chocolate fan. Bought a Hue bar the other day. Blew through that in a day. Didn't mean to, but man, it was there and it was open. And they're small. So yes, easily probably 25 grams of carbohydrates there. Sometimes handfuls of dark chocolate. That's why I'm saying I can handle 50 to 100. Some of you might have to clamp down a little bit because if your metabolism isn't quite there, and if you are still insulin resistant, you might be on the struggle bus if you add in that many carbohydrates. So you might need to be a little bit more strict until you get to the place of being more optimized. And then fats just kind of fall where they may. Now, how should you eat? I always say that your labs tell you how you should eat. Look at your insulin. Is your insulin above a 6? Then I don't want to hear the fact that you can't do a low-carb diet. Tough crap. You have to. You have to reel it in and quit shoving carbohydrates and sugar into your face because your insulin is telling us that something ain't right. Something ain't right. And you might be one that says, but I am eating low carb and my insulin is still high. I am eating low carb and my A1C is above a 5.2. Then it's going to be your thyroid, because your thyroid is going to control whether or not you can regulate your own glucose and insulin. And if you are truly, and you're being honest with yourself, if you are truly eating a low carbohydrate diet, and I mean, count those bad boys, because just like I said, they sneak in, right? You eat a Greek yogurt, there's 10 right there. You eat a Siete almond flour tortilla wrap, I think there's 10 in one. So it can easily add up, and then grabbing mindless handfuls of dark chocolate, it can easily add up. So you might have to sit down and really write it down. Go old school with pen and paper and write it down and see how many total, not net, do not take off carbohydrates because of the fiber, total carbohydrates you are consuming. It might be that. It might be that you need to optimize your thyroid because your thyroid is off and it's dysregulating your insulin and your glucose. Your labs tell you how you should eat. If you are not getting in, and I don't care who you are. Yes, you could look at your protein on a lab panel on the CMP, and you can see if that's below a 7.0. And if it is, then you are low in protein for the most part, or you have some gut issues that's not allowing your body, possibly celiac, to absorb protein. So if someone comes in and their protein is a 6, and they're like, no, I eat 150 grams a day. Then we're going to be looking for celiac because that's a problem. But are you eating 100 to 150 a day? Or do you think that you are? Write it down and track it. Write it down and track it. That will give you that real in-your-face number that you cannot deny because you're not just totaling it in your head and you're not totaling it on your MyFitnessPal. You're actually writing it down, pen and paper. You're looking up how many proteins and carbohydrates are in this particular food, and you're getting your totals. So you might not be getting in enough protein. You might be taking in too many carbohydrates, and you need to adjust that. You're going to see a little bit of that in your blood work, and a little bit is going to be intuitive. I mean, here's the thing. If you're hangry all the time, if you can't go 2 hours without eating something, if you can't go 4 hours without eating something because you get lightheaded or dizzy, or you can't think straight, you get hangry, that's a problem. That is severe dysregulated blood sugar and insulin. It's either coming from what you just ate or from what you have been eating consistently, and you've literally thrown off the signaling of your pancreas. Your blood sugar is on a roller coaster and you're having these highs followed by lows, which that's what you're feeling, are those lows. They should not be happening that often. It's one thing to get a little bit hungry after 6 or 8 hours of not eating. It's another thing to be hangry after 4 and literally you can't even make it. That is a problem. So that's where berberine blood sugar fixer should come in to help balance that out. And you might need to take a look at how many carbohydrates you're consuming as well. And this is for all my peeps out there. This is not just for hypothyroid patients. This is not just for Hashimoto patients. This is not just for menopause, perimenopause. This is for all of you out there. Whether you know you have a thyroid problem or not, you have to look at what you're eating. You have to look at your labs. You have to know your insulin number. You have to know your A1C. You better know your protein number on your CMP. You better know how many grams of protein you take in every day, because that contributes. It all contributes. So know your numbers and know what you're eating and make the adjustments accordingly. Listen to your body. If you're doing something and it's not working, and I mean really doing something, I don't mean that you try something, a new diet for 5 days and you go, well, that didn't work. And then you throw in the towel. You're not going to see results that quickly. What you do this week will show up next week. What you did last week is showing up this week. So if you ate like garbage last week and this week you decide to clean up your diet, you're not going to see those results. You're not going to see those rewards for cleaning up your diet this week. It's not going to happen. I know you want results yesterday, but it's not going to happen. You're going to have to wait until next week or the week after in order to see the results of your effort. And then you have to be consistent. So you really have to try something for a good 21 days. That's not cliche. It is a cliche, but it's really not. You have to try something for 21 days consistently to see if this is what's going to work for you and your body. You can't just do something for a short amount of time and expect to see the results. You can't judge a particular diet on a week of doing it. It's not the right way to do it. Pick something that is consistent with your body or work with a professional. Let them guide you. Do your macros, whatever. Hopefully they know what they're doing. And follow it and stick with it in order to actually see if that is right for your body. But for sure, listen to your intuition, listen to your gut, because that will absolutely tell you whether you're on the right path or not. If you feel like garbage doing a particular way of eating, then maybe that's not quite right for you. Maybe it's not. And I'm sorry, short of religious purposes only, I cannot back vegan or vegetarianism. And I'm sure I have some vegan fans and some vegetarian fans. I'm just not behind your diet. I'll help you and fix your thyroid and your hormones all day long. But I'm not going to tell you that eating those carbohydrate-laden fake meats and getting virtually no protein. And no, I don't want to hear that there's protein in plants. You need amino acids. You need animal-based sources of protein. I can't get behind it. I'm sorry. You don't have my backing. Okay, that is what I eat in a day. And you can take that and restructure it and take some nuggets from it and help improve your own diet, but be your own advocate. As I always say, know your body, tune into your body and listen to your body's signals. And really, you have the power to figure out what diet works for you. Yes, you might need a little help here and there, a few recipes here and there. But I promise you, you don't need a detailed out eating plan, most of you. Sometimes that's nice if you're preparing for something. Of course, I used it for my shows. Sometimes that's nice as a kickstart, just to have something to follow. But then it has to become intuition, because you need to know what you're going to order when you're at the restaurant. And you need to pre-plan what you're going to eat when you go to that party. So you need to know your body and what's working with your body and what isn't working with your body, and then plan your diet out accordingly. But I'm hoping that this gave you some really amazing tips and ideas.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I hope you loved it. And as always, if you would be so kind to leave a review, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, that would be absolutely amazing. I read all of them. Also, anything that you hear on this podcast is not intended to diagnose or treat any kind of medical condition. So we always recommend that you check with your medical provider, your doctor, your nurse practitioner before implementing anything that you hear on this podcast. And if you want to find out more about working together, you can click the link below in the show notes to book a discovery call. And there you'll be talking to a member of my team. They are an extension of me. They are amazing. And you and I will talk after that once we get you all signed up and you and I get to work together. All right. I hope to see you soon.